You know, I'm still keeping in touch with your pastor, though we be out of state now for a season of our life. So don't think that he's just out there running and gunning on his own. He still has people speaking into his life, and yeah, Betsy and I consider Mike and Celia good friends, yeah. Have been, will be, forever. And it's good to see some old friends' faces in here. So good to be back. Yeah. You know, I got a little nervous when I walked in the door and two or three people said, oh, so you're preaching today. And, you know, when Mike asked me to preach several weeks ago, he said that he was going to put posters up and put a billboard over here on 35, and so obviously he didn't do that. So, I want you to listen and pay attention for a moment. I want to give you an announcement before I start the message. So, are you listening? Are you paying attention to what the announcement is? The announcement is the message. The message is the announcement. So, you know, a lot of times we pay attention to announcements because we think that there's something there for us. And then when it gets to the message, kind of doze off a little bit. Heard that. Read that scripture. You may have to stand up here like this and hold my computer for me. So I want you to pay attention this morning to the scriptures that are read and certain key words that will be shared. And I want to share with you out of 2 Corinthians, which is a letter written by Paul as a missionary manual. It's based on Paul's life and his missionary experiences. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 13, Paul defends his authority as an apostle. And so let's just read down through this together. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 13, "But we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us to reach even to you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you, for we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast beyond limit in the labors of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. Let one who boasts, boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends." Now go back with me to verse 13. It says, "But we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us to reach even you." Now, Paul had an area assigned to him by God. And in that area, he was to be an influence over that area. Now, when we Paul talks about an area or a place here, he's not talking about dirt or a territory. I mean, it may be defined that way in a sense, but his area of influence has to do with people in that area. Now, every one of you has been assigned by God an area of influence. And that area has people in it that is your assigned area of influence. Now, you might ask, well, I see that in Scripture. Paul himself says that God assigned me my area of influence. How did that happen? I don't know. May it happen several ways. May it happen by a vision, an impression from God. May have come even by a circumstance of where God places you, where you are. May come by way of the Holy Spirit speaking to you in your heart about your area of influence. But I want you to think about that. What is your area that God has assigned to you? Now, for about 90% of you all, your area of influence is not right here. You hear that? Your area of influence is out there. Now, certainly your family is an area of influence. But can I tell you, even if you are a single mom or a mom that stays at home, homeschools your kids, that is not your only area of influence. Your area of influence, I promise you, reaches beyond your family. So if you don't already know your area or your place, then be asking God, show me my area. Now, I consider this church a missional church. You are missional people who have a mission to do by God. I believe that you are the people of God who will go and be, as commanded by Jesus, versus a come and see appeal. We have enough churches that are of the latter. Come and see what we're doing. And what we need is a group of people commanded by God that hear Him say, go and be the people of God. The kingdom people whom we are will have an attitude of go to them versus you come to us. We'll go where you are rather than you come into my area. I'll go to your area. So what area have you been assigned by God? Now, once you know your area, your assignment by God, then what does it say there? Paul said it's an area of influence. So then you are to be an influencer in that place. Now, what does it mean to be an influencer? Well, the definition of influence, just a secular definition, says a spiritual force or power causing an effect in indirect or intangible ways without the exertion of force or direct exercise of command. In other words, another word might be sway, to have an effect on the condition or development of a person. So we are to be an influence on the people within our assigned area. So how did Paul influence people in his assigned area? Well, let me just say this. First of all, Paul was intentional. He was intentional that he knew that he was to be an influence in his assigned place. And so he intentionally began to look for and to implement a way to influence the people in his area. Now, how did he do that? Paul did it, I think, three ways. His manner of life, his ministry, and the message were the ways Paul influenced people in his area. Listen, it was the Christ in Paul who manifested himself through Paul by the power of the Holy Spirit that demonstrated a manner of life, a ministry, and a message that reflected the character of God the Father. The major influence Paul had was that his manner of life, ministry, and message were all one and the same. You hear that? There was no difference in his manner of life, his ministry, and his message. One reflected the other. His lifestyle reflected the message that he spoke. His ministry flowed out of the message, and his message and his ministry was Paul's lifestyle. It was his manner of life. So he had a seamless life. Now let's look at these three areas. His manner of life. Look in Acts 20. Chapter 20, verse 18. This is where Paul was speaking to the elders, the leaders of the church of Ephesus. And in verse 18, it says, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia." He says, "You know, you have observed my manner of life when I've been there with you, when I've been around you, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house." That was his manner of life. That was a lifestyle for Paul. He did not shrink from declaring to them things that would be profitable to them in their life. Verse 21, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself. That was a manner of life and lifestyle for Paul. He did not consider himself. If only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, do you see those three things in these verses? His manner of life, how he lived amongst them. His heart was not focused on himself, But his heart was focused on the Lord and upon others. His heart was focused upon him finishing his course, the ministry that he had received from the Lord. And to testify of the gospel of the grace of God, the message. Now, what is your manner of life? You know, and those around you, you live with, that you relate to, they know a lot about your manner of life. We should reflect on that. The second thing, the way Paul influenced was not only with his manner of life, his lifestyle, but ministry. Paul was given a ministry by God, and Paul was a minister of this ministry. He says that he received it from God. He says in places that he was a steward of the ministry given to me by God. Now, every one of you all have a ministry given to you by God. Do you recognize that? Do you know that? No one's left out here. You have a ministry. Look with me, if you will, to Romans. Romans 15. Verse 14. It says, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God. To be a minister of Christ. That's the key. That's why every one of us has been given a ministry. And that ministry is a ministry of Christ. He lives in us. It's easy. You just let Him be Him in you and through you. To be a minister of Christ to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God. So every time you see Paul speaking about his ministry, it's closely connected to the message, the gospel of God. So that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, the message and manner of life. By the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to, how do you pronounce that, Mike? You're a theologian here, aren't you? Illyricum? Anybody got a better pronunciation of that word? Huh? Illyricum. I like that. Okay. It sounds better than my Texas pronunciation, doesn't it? I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Listen, we've been called, not only given a ministry, we've been called to fulfill that ministry. That's the goal. Just fulfill it. We see again, fulfill the ministry of what? The gospel of Christ. To preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. So fulfill the ministry given to you by God. When you do that, you will be an influence in your area of influence. That's how you influence. Now the third thing is the message. Paul was a messenger sent by God to proclaim the gospel. Now, we've already seen in Scripture, and I've already said multiple times in this message, the word gospel. Now, what do we mean by that? You know, when Jesus said at the end of Matthew, go out and make disciples of all nations, the first step is finding out if someone even has a relationship with Christ. So the word gospel is good news. So for those that do not know Christ, have a relationship with God through Christ, then the good news they need to hear is they can have salvation in Christ Jesus. Step one. But the gospel throughout the New Testament is a broader term than just a term used for salvation and proclaiming that so that people will accept Christ and have eternal life. The whole kingdom of God and Jesus' message was good news. It was the gospel. Now, people need to hear good news. That's what the gospel is. So let me challenge you as you spend time in the Word of God, when you come across that word gospel, just interchange it with the word good news. Some of your versions may already do that for you. But to me, it helps because I've been so programmed over the years to think of that word gospel as, well, just sharing the message of salvation. Let me tell you, the whole Bible, I used to be able to hold up a Bible like Mike's, but now I've got this electronic thing up here. But the whole Bible is good news. And you are a messenger sent by God. Do you know that? Do you believe that? You're a messenger. You know, in the old days, you know, to get good news, they had to ride on horses, you know, for miles and miles and miles and get to a town and jump off and start yelling the good news. The war's over. Or whatever good news they were doing. Now turn with me to Galatians 1. Verse 16 through 17. Starting 15. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Now, that time Paul spent in Arabia was an important time. Because I suspect it doesn't say that, but I suspect he went there to be with the Father. So that he might get a revelation of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And it was through that revelation that he carried the message, and then he came back as part of his ministry to proclaim that message. Now, I know a lot of times we'll get scared to sound the message. But who are we trying to please? Man? Or are we trying to please God? Now, if you stay there in Galatians 1, in verse 10, it says, "For I am now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, that revelation is only going to come by you being conscious of God the Father. Spending time in that relationship so that through the Holy Spirit, the revelation will begin to come of who God is. That will affect your manner of life. And out of that, it ought to affect your ministry and the message that comes out of your mouth. Now turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Since you were gone, Mike. Verse 1. "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now listen, I know a lot of times we get scared to proclaim the message. So did Paul. "Came to you in weakness, trembling, fearful, scared." But that didn't stop him from proclaiming the message. And listen, he says here, "I didn't even proclaim the message in a very eloquent way." He might just stumble through it many times. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Stumble through it, but get the message out. Proclaim it. It's Christ in you that will deliver the message. Just trust Him. Now, in my opinion, this is my opinion, I think our biggest influence on people from these three areas is not your manner of life, is not your ministry. I think the biggest area of influence is the message, is the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, that is the very area that the enemy will try to quiet us down, cause us to be mute. We just think, well, you know, if I just say grace over my meal at a restaurant, that manner of life is going to get somebody saved. Well, that's a nice manner of life or lifestyle to have. Some people may acknowledge that. But I think the primary way is going to come through us proclaiming the message, church. And let me tell you, that message is already in you. You just have to think a little bit about, why has God assigned me this area? And the biggest way I can be an influence in that area is to begin to proclaim the message of good news to the people that are there in that area. It really is very simple. Now let me shoot on down here in my message because time is up on us. I'm skipping. Let me just say this. I'm not going to turn there. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. He's given us a ministry of what? Reconciliation. He says in that verse, entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. You've been entrusted with the message. Are you a good steward of that trust? You've been entrusted by God. Listen, we are His representatives. We're it. If people are going to get saved, if people are going to get delivered, if people are going to hear good news, it's going to come from us. Christ in me now speaking. Christ on earth, it was Him speaking. Now it's Christ in me on earth, representing Him, speaking. Christ speaking in me, through me. It's not me, it's Him. We need to get a revelation of that and begin to speak. God will be with you. He will strengthen you to do that. Now turn with me to Luke, and I'll wind this up, Mike. Luke chapter 6. Verse 12. I want you to see some keys right here before I close. Verse 12 says, in these days Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and all night He continued in prayer to God. Now, Jesus went to the mountain to pray. Why? To hear from God the Father and to be influenced by God the Father. So, Jesus went to an area of influence, but not to influence, to be influenced. He went to a place, the mountain, to be with the Father, so that He could hear from the Father, be influenced by the Father. Why? He says here, He chose, came back down the mountain to choose His 12 disciples out of many disciples. Important time with the Father to hear from Him. If you go on down then in verse 17, it says, and He came down from the mountain with them and stood on a level place before a great crowd of people and before many of His disciples. Now, Jesus came down from a place of being influenced with the Father down to His area of influence. That level place right there was boom. That was His area of influence. He had people. He had an audience there. Could have been one. Could have been 12. Could have been hundreds. That was His place of influence. And in that place, He influenced out of what He was influenced by when He was on the mountain. That's how you influence. First, He ministered, healed the sick, cast out demons, and then He went into a message. What we call the Beatitudes. Now, Mike, I know, has been talking about the language of the Spirit. I've been listening to his message, though not here, online. Listen, the sound of the kingdom of God causes transformation. That's what people need. They need to be transformed in their heart. How's that going to come about? The Word of God, the good news of the kingdom of God, the language of the kingdom. So we need to focus on speaking good news Now, let me share something with you. If you remember that little verse that talks about, I'm not sure where it is. Maybe it's in Galatians somewhere. It says, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. There's another place in Scripture where it says, your obedience will punish your disobedience. Now it says, if we walk by the Spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. I don't need to go around focused on my flesh and causing it to be pushed down, thinking, okay, my flesh is dead in Christ. You know, the focus in that verse is not on the flesh. The focus is where? Walking by the Spirit. And as long as you're doing that in that process, you're putting down the flesh. Your obedience is punishing your disobedience. So quit worrying about being disobedient. Just concentrate on being obedient. Now, the same thing. We need to focus on speaking good news. We don't need to focus on speaking bad news. Because listen, in the process of speaking and focusing on good news, guess what? No bad news comes out of your mouth. We already have in us the good news of the kingdom. We just need to recognize it. Christ is in us. He's anxious to proclaim the message, the good news. Why don't we stand? You want me to, or you want to do that after? Business people? Mike had something he felt like needed to...
This past week as I was praying, knowing Brad was coming, he has a grace, an influence in entrepreneur ways, businesses, creative ideas to create business. And I really felt like he was to pray over those who feel like God's given them a business, has put something in your heart, but it hasn't manifested yet on earth. And so that was one of the things I feel like he needed to pray over many of you. I know that we have several business owners and several of you that I believe God's put something in your heart for a business to come forth on the face of the earth. You may even have a business that is struggling right now. I feel like as Brad prays over you, prays over your finances, whatever, there's going to be breakthrough. And so I invite you to raise your hand up if that's you, and then the, whatever else he's going to close to ministry. But I really encourage you, as I've seen this man of God be blessed in that area of business and finances, there's a breakthrough for you in that arena if you'll receive it.
Yeah, let me just say this about... It doesn't matter if we stand or sit, right? You do whatever you feel led to. Let me just say this. I turned 61 about 2 weeks back. Whoa, that's right. It's like, oh my gosh, that poor man. We're raising our 4-year-old granddaughter full time, so we're staying younger. She's going to keep us younger, regardless of how many birthdays roll around here in the next few years. But one thing, you know, God has influenced me in the area of business since Mike brought this up. You know, I wished I had maybe learned this much earlier because, you know, I was influenced by the culture in business. And the world's definition of success. And so in business, you know, my focus was on making money. And, you know, obviously a Christian at that time, but, you know, trying to be a good steward of it. And we should be of our money. God says that. But, you know, as God influenced me over the years, I began to realize, really, that this message today was much more important in business. That I was in business to be a good steward over what I had been given. But more importantly, that was my area of influence. I was to influence in that area with my manner of life, my ministry, and my message. And it wasn't mine, it was what I received and God gave me, as He did you. So as kingdom people, we need to keep our focus on first things. First things first, the importance of first things. Which just reminds me of a scripture about that, that we didn't read. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. I want to just pray over Mike's request here. And Father, we do just come for those that lifted their hand, that have a heart for entrepreneurship, have a heart for business. And Father, I pray that, Father, you first help them to see that that is their place of influence more than anything else, God, why you've placed them there. It's a place of influence. Help them to be that. Strengthen them to be that influence in that area, in that place, Lord. And Father, I pray that, Father, you would give those, Father, that have a heart for that, that, Father, maybe they're starting a business, maybe have some creative idea that they're trying to figure out how to be a good steward of that creative idea that you've given them, how to implement that from a business perspective. God, I pray that your anointing would rest upon these business people. Father, that you would give them wisdom and knowledge and understanding. You would manifest in them the mind of Christ. That, God, they would be so conscious of God the Father on a daily basis. That, Father, when they walk into their place of business, that, Father, they'll be thinking about you, thinking about why they're there, thinking about how to be a good steward over the monies, over the education they've been given, over their skills. Lord, everything, Father, we recognize comes from you. So, Father, we do speak prosperity, Lord, and increase and growth in those that have a business, that work in a business. Father, even if you're receiving a salary, God, we pray increase, increase, increase. God, and we pray that because we know your kingdom is about increase. God, all we have to do is look at what you created on the earth, in the trees and the plants. God, they're all about multiplication and increase. So God, as kingdom people, Father, we stand before you and say, God, show me how to use my gifts you've given me. Father, help me to be a good steward over what you've given me. Lord, I want to be a good manager. So Father, help me to have the wisdom to make the right choices, the right decisions, so that, God, like the parable of the talents, they worked and were good stewards and were faithful with what they were giving in regards to business. And God, you blew on it and caused it to increase. God, we know you're the one that brings the increase. God, our part is to be faithful, to be good stewards. Strengthen us, help us to do that. And Father, for all of us, I pray that the message heard today was not heard as the words of man, but for what it really was intended to be, God the Father proclaiming the message through me. So Father, I pray that every person here would receive the truth of what they heard, that the Holy Spirit would bring fresh and new revelation of that word to be implanted in each person's heart to cause transformation, renewal of our thinking, And that, Father, we would put first in our life the same thing that Jesus did and Apostle Paul. And that, God, we would spend time so that we're influenced by you first. And then, God, out of that overflow, you would cause us to know our area of influence, that we would live a manner of life that reflected that influence from God the Father, His character, and that, God, we would minister and proclaim the message so that you, Father, would be glorified in and through our lives, and that the people that hear would receive and their lives would be transformed. Father, I know that's the fruit that you're looking for coming from us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just say one quick thing about that, is that in that one verse that we first read, 2 Corinthians 10, 13, somewhere in there, 14, 15, you know, it says that as Paul ministered to those Corinthians, it says, as their faith increased, then that was an expansion of Paul's area of influence. Now listen, as we are faithful in our assigned area of influence, then what happens in that is that those people that are influenced are then assigned an area of influence that's different. That's how Paul's ministry expanded. He didn't have to go everywhere. But he just had to be faithful with his little area of influence and then trust that those would be assigned and then they would go. And so then he became a part of that area of influence of those other people, and he never had to go there. That's how it should work with us. Just figure out your area of influence and be faithful. You don't have to save all of Dallas. You just have to proclaim the good news in your area and trust God that out of that, all of Dallas, Fort Worth, will hear the good news.